Yeah. I tell them welcome to the gray area and stay away just in case you ain't real enough to relate. Every other Thursday, politics to the chips. Get up on this wave. Now tell me what's to talk about, 'cause we the only thing to talk about. How you keep reality in check, just keep it real rap and don't gossip with the facts. Yeah.
We got a lot of cheating happening in baseball. Signs are getting stolen. People are in their feelings. Suspensions everywhere. But we're going to talk about it. This is the Gray Area Chapter 60, and I am your host, Ray Jarvis.
Showtime! Woo!
For this episode, I decided to do a baseball roundtable. First time in Gray Area history that I've discussed baseball at this level, but it had to be something good. It can't just be talking about, you know, are we going to move the runner over to third or something like that. No, we're going to talk about some controversy. So with me, I have three gentlemen. We're all Met fans, so say Yankee fans, shut the hell up. We know what we're talking about anyway. First guest, Akeem Richens, former co-host. We've done this a long time. I think you played baseball too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was decent at it. I was much better than football.
You put a uniform on. That's fine.
That's all that matters.
Another baseball player, member of the sports hit list, Greg Polius.
What's going on, my guy? What's up? Nice to be here.
You already know what it is. Manuel Brown, another Mets sufferer, my brother, my foil, as he likes to say. What's good, bro?
What's good, everybody? You ready to be on?
Fellas, look, I dropped a little clip last week because I was real salty. Part of it was the joint you did with Carla had me really riled up. So I decided, like, for this, I'm not going to say nothing too crazy just yet, but I wanted to get everyone's opinions on this whole situation. So, Greg, I'll start with you. We call it Signgate? Is that what we're going to go with this?
I mean, this sounds accurate.
You know what I mean? What are your real feelings? Since you didn't get to talk last week, how do you really feel about what's going on as a former player?
As a former player, am I surprised? No.
Okay.
The only thing I would say I'm surprised about maybe is the fact that they had the camera set up in center field. That's different.
Okay.
That's different.
Yeah.
You know, but it's in terms of the sign stealing, I still do that now.
Listen.
Competitive edge. But what I will say, though, is yes, they cheated.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that are saying, oh, you're trying to say they didn't cheat, they cheated. We get that.
Right.
But in baseball, you cannot say that they won specifically because they cheated, because there are too many variables at play.
Right.
So case in point, you know a fastball's coming, right? Because they tipped you off with the banging of the drum. You hit a line drive screaming in the gap. Center fielder makes a great play. Guess what? It means nothing.
Right.
That's an out. You are now a non-factor in the game.
Okay.
So to say they won specifically but because they cheated, like I told Carl on it, it is a simpleton's approach.
Simpleton's approach. Akeem, what are your takes on this Signgate situation?
If we bash the Patriots for cheating.
Oh, boy.
If we can bash them, because technically, New England Patriots, they won the championship.
Right.
But then again, is it not because cheating helped? Cheating definitely, it definitely helps, and it's definitely a competitive edge.
Which cheating we talking about? They did a lot of cheating.
I see like this. Cheating is cheating.
Okay.
And once you go, and now I understand the baseball aspect of it,
right.
You know, but I would like to keep it with pine tar.
Okay.
I would like to keep it with blowing on your hands a little bit for a pitcher.
Hold on, do you know the advantage tar can give a pitcher?
Do you know what the know what the advantage teams get when you're building devices? you're building devices to cheat.
Oh,
that right
man.
There is, in my opinion, that's a major red flag. I like the acceptable cheating.
All right.
You know, the tar, the blowing.
Right.
That's the acceptable cheating.
Right.
But this unheard of cheating, I'm not with the unheard
so
of.
So we have Akeem here wearing the white cap of the non-cheating sign stealers here. All right, Manuel, how you feel about this? You said you had some smoke for the cheater againsters, we'll say.
Listen, this idea, and look, first and foremost, what the Astros did was terrible.
Okay,
like, cheating is. I'm in the book of cheating is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in like this cheating is more acceptable than this, or this is gamesmanship. If we gonna call cheating, it's cheating. Everything is cheating.
Right.
If it's against the rules, it's cheating.
Is it?
Now that being said, this moral high ground that I see these players, these writers, these GMs, I am appalled. this is a black eye on the game.
Ugh.
What? Like, did we? First of all, every team in baseball is doing something similar to this.
Okay.
If you don't believe me, in 2017, they busted the Red Sox and the Astros for doing the thing with the Apple Watch.
Wasn't the Yankees in on that too?
Yeah, the Red Sox and the Yankees, I should say.
So oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
The Yankees. The Yankees, who you know, Aaron Judge, you know, it's hard to take them serious. Mr. Judge, who forgets he struck out like 75 times in that series.
Right, right. He could have used some signs.
Cody Bellinger, you know, he had a spicy take. Mr. Cody Bellinger, who struck out 17 times in 26 World Series at-bats in 2017.
Jeez.
He somehow conveniently forgot that part.
Jeez.
Look. The Astros, what they did was wrong.
Right.
Let's not mince words here. They did what they did was wrong.
All right. Well,
this outrage that these players, that these teams are showing, is just ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I kind of see where everyone is going here. Like, I can see everyone's perspective. I think I'm kind of with Greg as far as the science goes. It's like baseball has too much science involved for you to say that the science stealing affected the outcome of the game. It could be windy. Like if the wind blows a certain way, the way the ball comes off the bat, the trajectory could change everything. The spin Absolutely. Of the baseball on contact could go right into a glove. You know what I mean? Or the person could not square the ball up and pop it and hit a foul. There's a lot of things that could happen in the game that could affect that. But the thing that has me really riled up, right, where they say is like levels to cheating, right? Put it this way. I'll put it on a simpleton's approach. If we are all drug dealers, right? We all on the block selling Big Reggie. Big Reggie. And then we not getting money. And then I come on the block with the loudest of loud. We still drug dealers, right?
Right.
Right?
Facts.
You don't get mad because my loud got all the customers.
Right.
So that's how I feel. Now we mad because cheating 2.0, science on 2.0 happens. Oh, no, there's levels of cheating. No way. You're still cheating. There's nothing in the book. I'm taking up Greg's paper. There's nothing in the book, in the bylaws, that says you can't do this with center field camera, but when you get on second base, we're going to change the signs because you're going to steal them. They already know what's happening. So what are we talking about? We can't do that. You can't say it's levels of cheating. Then that means we all full of it, no?
Correct.
Dude's been changing signs since the beginning of time when dudes get on second base.
Right.
And who's to say this hasn't
that's
been
sports.
Happening? Who's to say
sports.
That?
Sports. Since the beginning of time, since this thing called sports was created, people have been trying to get advantage in every single sport to varying degrees. As long as people are keeping score and athletes are involved and winning is the optimal goal, there's always going to be somebody cheating.
Go ahead, Akeem.
The black eye on the game is this, in my opinion. But cheating aside, it's how we found out about the cheating.
Oh, don't get me.
We're talking about the team, the guy, the pitcher was a beneficiary of the cheating, and then turns around and tells it all. I mean, if this is not worse than Tekashi 6ix9ine, if this is not worse than Tekashi, I don't know what is.
Can someone hold on, Manny, hold on. Can someone tell me why he decided now to talk? Not after the season, the following year, a couple of months after the chip, 2 years later. Does anybody know?
I think the Astros lit him up. That's what I think it was.
Oh,
I think they lit him up, and he was. And I think he got demoted in the rotation. I would have to go back and fact check myself.
Right,
but I think it has something to do with that.
Saltiness means you're gonna snitch.
It's crazy,
fam. Let's be real here. Mike Fiers is a middling pitcher.
Okay,
like, at best.
I didn't know who he was.
He's an average pitcher. No, he's on his best day.
Bro, if you saw Mike Fiers on Times Square, you'd walk right by him, bro. He doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's a middling pitcher. But this idea that the media is going to paint Mike Fiers out to be Edward Snowden, some American hero, give him the Purple Heart for his bravery. I seen Tom Verducci on MLB Tonight. You know, he deserves to be commended for his
Stop
bravery.
Stop it.
What?
Nah. What? Give that ring back if you're so brave.
He benefited. If Mike Fiers was so upset, if he was so bothered by what happened, why didn't he come out in August of 2017 and say, yo, Ken Rosenthal, this is happening. This
right.
is going on right now in the dugout, anonymously, because he ain't stupid.
Right.
Anonymously.
Right.
Yo, yo, this is going on. I'm appalled. I can't. I want no part of it. So, or if you're really outraged, why didn't you tell? Why didn't you tell why didn't you tell AJ Hinch and the GM to say, yo, you know what? Cut me. I don't want to be here right now because this is stupid. This is a black eye on the game. Why did he do that? He waits 2 years. Two.
Yeah, you big man. Go ahead, Greg.
Couple points. Tony Kemp, who played on the Astros during the time, knew what was going on,
right?
Chose not to take part in it. So you literally had dudes who had a choice. So if Fires knew what was going on, like your man said, he could have spoken about it.
This is fair.
You know?
Y'all kind of taking me on a ride that I didn't plan on, but since we here, right, we saying that Fires benefited from this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, like, run support, that's the thing, right?
Yeah. Correct.
So we have a Yankee who was an Astro a couple months ago, Garrett Cole. All of a sudden, he's innocent? That he's scot-free? Anyone want to take that? No?
I didn't know anything about it.
Stop it.
I came to the clubhouse every day, and I didn't see anything going on. I didn't see traffic.
You're a reasonable man.
But see, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're doing something you got no business doing, or right, your team has no business doing, I'm not saying the cheating is right, but since you're doing it, you have to keep it under wraps.
Absolutely.
So Garrett Cole, I commend him for acting as if he don't know what the hell is going on and what was he talking about when he knew.
But Akeem, but then you have Yankee players talking all kinds of hot fire with an op in the locker room. He was there. He benefited. What are we talking about?
He benefited. I wanted to get to that because Stanton's comments really annoyed me about
Stanton. What has he done?
80 home runs.
This bum can't stay healthy.
If he knew what was coming, first of all, if you're a major league player,
right,
you know how to pick up on tendencies. You know when a pitcher has things that are off. You know what to look for in certain counts.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty of at-bats where Stanton knew what was coming, and he did nothing with it.
Listen, you could know it's coming and still swing and miss. So what are we talking about?
But it's in my opinion, it's a big advantage.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about a fastball that goes 95 miles per hour mixed up with a curveball at 78.
Yeah.
You know? It's definitely an advantage. So, you're not saying it's not an advantage, but don't say you won strictly because you cheated.
Exactly.
Right. I understand
Bottom
that.
Line is, if the White Sox knew what it was coming, if the White Sox did the same thing, and, you know, they were getting signs, they were banging trash cans, it wouldn't have mattered because the White Sox suck. They wouldn't have benefited from it. The problem is that it was this Astros team that's a juggernaut that didn't need it, and they did it anyway.
Definitely didn't.
So that's
need
what makes it more
fair
egregious.
Is fair, but hold. But Greg, you mentioned some stats before we got on the air, yeah, as far as how much stealing was actually taking place. Can you throw those numbers on the air for us?
So in the first 58 games, which is what the only metrics I could pull up on it as far as advanced statistics go, out of over 8,200 pitches, they stole signs on 1,100, which is just over 14%.
Mm.
And that, in the grand scheme of things, that is not a large number. And then you have guys like Altuve who only benefited on like 2.8% of sign stealing.
Okay.
That 2.8% could have won the game.
This is true. It only takes one pitch. Touche. So what about, I saw something on Twitter this morning, actually, where they said something along the lines of, in the World Series, Kershaw threw 51 curves and sliders and got not one swing on any of those pitches. Did that have anything to do with them knowing that the pitch was coming, or was just because Kershaw is just sorry in the playoffs?
I think it could be twofold.
Okay.
Because they could have known it was coming, mm-hmm, or they could have literally been sitting on his fastball. Like, that could have been a game plan. That could have been an approach. Back. Because they know that he has this big over-the-top curveball and that they could be susceptible to it, especially in the middle of their order. So, you know what? Make him throw us a fastball.
I mean, Kershaw might just be Greg Maddux in the playoffs. That finesse game works in the regular season. Hold on, man. It might work in the playoffs, but in the playoffs, situation comes with guys just know that you can't get me out with the fastball. I'm going to wait on it.
Also, Kershaw's fastball velo dipped, so that also played a part.
That's why he's not killing people anymore, because the changeup from fastball to curve is not dynamic anymore. He's just a guy. Low-key, he's a well-paid guy, but he's just a guy. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Manny.
No, I was just going to add what my man was just added there at the end, that his fastball velocity has dipped over the last couple of years. And to beat Kershaw, you really got to sit on that fastball, because if he's able to get that curve and that slider over, you're done. Yeah. And the Astros did a great job of laying off of it. Now, were they assisted? Of course. But, you know, hey, still got to commend them for laying off of it.
And the one, when I was on air with Carl, the one thing that they could not answer,
mm-hmm,
was why did they have a better record on the road than they did at home?
There's no right answer for that question.
They won 53 games on the road.
Right.
They're a great team. They're a great talent. To which Carl responded, how did you know they didn't cheat on the road? Which to this day is still one of the most ridiculous things Carl has ever said on air.
I mean, it was an asinine question. because if the story itself that you did, I do my homework. If you did your research, right, you would see that they said that they cheated at home.
Right.
Because they had the access to the center field camera, which is part of the cheating Ponzi scheme. Right. So if they go on the road and they can't steal signs, that means they can't do it. But anyway, I got another question. It's a layman's question, real simple, right? If the sign stealing was so grandiose, we don't believe that they did it for 1 year. If you could get away with it, you're gonna keep doing it. That's the way of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why didn't they win in 2018? Why didn't they win in 2019? Like, what are we talking about?
In the report, because exactly. I read the MLB report, you know, the CBS report or whatever, and they cheated all through 2017 and only the beginning of 2018.
Right.
Because I think they knew that somebody might blow the whistle.
Okay. So what you're saying is they got all the way to Game 7 of the World Series last year with no sign stealing, yeah, according to the data, yeah, that everybody else loves.
Yeah, everybody keeps throwing out they cheated for 3 years. The report didn't say that.
Oh. But you mean the report that they read?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So, Akeem, you know what? When we worked together before, you always had a good, like, way of deducing BS in the media. That's a strong suit of yours.
Yeah, that's a fact.
With this outrage, is it legit or fake outrage from your point of view?
From my point of view, it's fake outrage.
Okay.
It's fake outrage. It's just it's just another blemish to baseball. Right. There's always, it seems like every few years, something comes up with baseball. Yeah. And it seems like an outrage in the beginning. Why? Because it's new.
Yeah.
It's something new. It's something we haven't heard before. Just like the steroid era with Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire. When that era was out, it was like, oh my God. Now when people do it, it's like, oh,
the game is tainted.
Now it's like, it's okay now. So this unheard, this unheard of way of cheating is why people are outraged, because nobody's ever done it before.
So another layer to that question. So you would say what you're gaining is that America's game, allegedly, right, is more about it being another tarnish to the sport, more so than it being sign stealing.
That's correct.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Correct. It's all about tarnish to the sport, and we all know every sport has a fraternity, mm-hmm, and yeah, we all know that there's the fraternity is really mad,
yeah,
with the Astros. I don't even want to say his name. Yeah. He's really mad with the Astros pitcher right now because it leaves a blemish. It leaves a black eye or a mark on the game of baseball.
I got one more question for you. Last week, Poppy came out, flat out said that the pitcher, at this point, that's what he's become,
right,
is a snitch. Why do you think more people aren't coming forward and saying that, or are more comfortable just riding the outrage train as opposed to keeping it funky and saying, he snitched and this is what we do?
Baseball is... It's human beings.
Right.
We're not talking about the hood.
Right.
You know, snitching is a hood terminology.
Got it.
So when people are commending this guy, they're commending it, they commending the person. Mm-hmm. He's doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's doing the commendable thing.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, the unwritten quote is, you're not supposed to say anything.
Right.
That's the that's the unwritten. He knows that. He knows that. That's the unwritten rule within every fraternity in every sport, I believe.
True.
He decided to go against the rule, and now we're here.
It just bothers me because I see the way baseball is covered. The charm of the sport comes with the cheating. The gamesmanship, they'll call it, right?
Yeah.
But then every time something hits the fan, everyone runs to their crib and goes hiding. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Like, bro, it's part of the sport. I think at some point, whoever the new commissioner is, and low-key, I think Manfred is with the cheating action. But he has to be a commissioner. Wear that. Be the outlaw league. Just do it.
I think if he went with that and they were the outlaw league, they would get more viewership.
Yes. That's where I'm going. That's where we need. Because he's been real. He did what he had to do because the media would have killed him if he didn't suspend people, right?
Yeah.
But if you read his quotes and you listen to him, he's real flippant about it. Like, he's not bothered by the sign stealing. That's what I'm gaining from it.
Not at all.
So here's my thing with the whole black eye and all that. I'm not buying the black eye because they said baseball could never come back from steroids.
Like, isn't steroids more egregious than sign stealing?
In my opinion, yeah. But, you know,
amphetamines, absolutely, back in the day?
African Paul will tell you otherwise.
He's an idiot. I don't even know why you mentioned his name. I will never say his name on this show. He's a joke. Anyway.
My bad.
But to the Astros. We see the comments, signs getting stolen at preseason games, Altuve getting booed while signing the autographs. Manny, This is, I'm going to go around the table for you first. How do you think the Astros should handle the scrutiny?
I personally think that they should just let it roll off their backs. I mean, because nothing that they're going to be able to say is going to help
right.
the perception in the media. Like, the media has already planted their flag. They want to make them the bad guys. They want to make them the ultimate villains, which I actually think is good for the sport, by the way.
Yeah.
But because, you know, you need a villain to root against. So, honestly, if you're the Astros, embrace it. Throw your middle fingers up. Like, yo, you know what? Y'all think we cheated? Y'all think we frauds? We cheated? We need to, Altuve needs to give his MVP back? Rejoice in it. Feed off of it. Use that motivation to say, all right, y'all think we cheated? Y'all think we frauds? All right, we about to smash y'all.
Okay.
Every game.
Okay.
Smash y'all.
What about you, Greg?
That's what I would do.
I mean, I kind of agree with him saying, we cheated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a new season now. It's over. It's done with.
Right.
Come see us. Y'all not better than us.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, they're still very, very talented.
I mean, besides Cole, they kind of bringing the same squad back.
Exactly. And then they still have a top five farm system.
That's what was separating basically all the teams in Major League Baseball is the farm system.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Astros were bad for so long.
They stockpiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that talent come to the big leagues.
Yeah. Akeem, what's up?
I think the people that's not playing the game
right.
is more outraged than the people that's playing the game.
Absolutely. Okay.
So because of that, I don't think they're even like, yo, come get us. We're the team to beat, because I don't think the beef is with the opponent.
Right.
The beef is with us. The beef is with everybody that's not wearing a uniform. The beef is with everybody that's not playing the game of baseball. With this situation, I'm going to believe that cheating is the norm in baseball. We just don't know about it.
It's probably plenty of things that we don't know about.
We just don't know about it. Yeah. And the pitcher from the Astros, he just stirred the pot a little bit to
a little grenade.
To make us wonder, like, oh, listen, if this happened and we didn't have no idea this happened, what else is happening? We have no idea about it.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
These high and mighty ball players in the Major League fraternity that are coming out with these quotables.
Yeah.
How do you think the Astros are going to react to them?
It could get ugly. We gonna get there. I think my issue with the Astros is because I think that the scrutiny now, like, baseball might be in trouble. Because now they're going to want to kill everything to prove that it wasn't about stealing signs. But I get mad when they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're saying we're going to be in the World Series again, but we didn't cheat. Like, bro, it happened. Don't even say that part.
Yeah,
as an organization, don't go take people's signs out. It's part of the process. It's America. Yeah. People are going to have signs. They're going to have chance. You got to wear that.
Go
play baseball, go kill, and we'll have to stop talking.
Right.
If I'm the Astros, I tell fans, come with signs with cameras on it, make a joke out of it.
Embrace it. Embrace it.
They went Vince McMahon, like they want to control the message. Like, nah, y'all did what y'all did. Y'all won a chip, y'all lost a chip. It's fine. Just do it again. That's it. To your point, because I was going to ask about, bean balls.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a real physical season for the Astros. I think
Manfred's going to have to step in.
Yeah?
I think he's going to have to step in. Six dudes. I don't count the Altuve one that they were sharing because that was a curveball.
Right.
But there are dudes that are going to be hunting. And they're probably going to be pitchers that have nothing to really play for.
Right.
You know, that don't care if they get tossed or five-game suspension. You know? But I have a problem with the pitchers that do it.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that buys into this whole old school unwritten rule narrative that I think needs to go out the window.
Unwritten rule that you broke, but now we're going to enforce it by throwing it at you. It's hustling backwards, one-on-one.
I just I think if the Astros come out and punch teams in the mouth,
mm-hmm.
then all that stuff goes away.
Akeem, you think it's going to get physical, or you think it's going to be a lot of talk?
I hope not, man. At the end of the day, everybody's human beings. Mm-hmm. Everybody have families and have people to go home to at the end of the day. So, you know, hopefully we could keep the physicality out of it. Yeah, they're cheating is one thing. We understand they cheated. Let's punish them.
Yeah.
Let's punish them. Baseball gives out harsher punishments for things that have nothing to do with baseball. Pete Rose is done for life from Major League Baseball for betting on, for making money on the game. But the people that's actually affecting the game is not getting harsh punishments. I think this it's crazy to me.
The light bulb just went off in my head. Hold on, guys. So a dude who bet money can't get in the Hall of Fame with a dude who stole signs, which directly impacts the game one way or the other. We don't know the outcome, but it's part of the process of the game. Gets a couple games and he gets to come back or misses a season in case of the manager. Wow.
The Pete Rose thing is a little more nuanced because at first it was
okay.
The betting effort, but then
you think it was point shaving?
No. Because they I can't remember how many years ago, but they asked him like to come clean. You know, mm-hmm. And then he was like, he made comments. In decent comments or whatever, towards the league and things like that, and he pretty much kind of like it was like a slap in the face. So
got it.
When that happened, it was like it's a wrap. He's never getting in. What I want to do, because I didn't expect to go to Pete Rose route, but what I want to do is when we finish it, probably bring up those comments that he made.
All right, yeah, let's do it. What about you, Manny? How you feel about the physicality in all that situations?
I think it's gonna get. I think it's overhyped.
Yeah.
I think you'll see like because the one thing you gotta think about it, the teams that are most affected by the quote unquote sign stealing, although every team is on their high horse.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, they're really not gonna play that much.
Right.
So, you know, I think when they play the Yankees, I think you'll see something going on. I think you'll see something going on in the division. Like the Rangers might want to pop their chest out and start a bean war or something like that. I think you'll see that. And I think that'll be only like at the beginning of the year. Like, you know, maybe first, you know, 50 games or so. Then I think people kind of settle into the season and just kind of move on. I think it's going to go on more with the fans.
Yeah.
When they go on a roll, the fans.
Yeah, the fans. You know, definitely the fans. Definitely.
And do stupid shit, you know, stupid stuff.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, so I think it's more in the audience and the fans is going to carry on all year. Between the players, not so much. I think that's all right.
I think that if anything happens, I expect there to be some kind of benches clearing. But I think it's because they've talked themselves up so much. And then that game with the Yankees, whatever day of the week it falls on, it's going to be a lot of cameras. There's going to be on ESPN or whichever network decides they get the rights to that game for that night. And I think they're going to paint themselves in a corner with the intensity and the pressure tonight that someone's going to do something stupid.
Mm.
The benches are going to clear. I don't know if it's going to be a Donnybrook, but you're going to see a lot of hold me backs or something like that. But I think, as you guys said, because baseball is such a long season and a lot of these guys, there's a lot of players on these teams, they don't care. They just want to play baseball.
Right.
But I think the highlight games early in the year, to which a lot of y'all have said, I think that's where it's going to go. And then eventually when the Astros are killing everything again, maybe they're good. And then we move on. You
facts,
know what I mean?
Facts.
Yeah. The last question I have for you guys on the sign stealing, you guys have kind of alluded to it already as far as the cheating in the sport. Do we think that another level is going to happen again? Maybe not a camera, but something. The more technology they add to the game, the more ways there are to cheat.
I mean, we had the iWatch, yep. The Apple Watch. We had the cameras. I would not be surprised if something new came 10 years down the road.
A bullpen calling the phone or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm.
Hey, who would have thought replay would actually really be a benefit?
That's crazy.
I think the whole instant replay in baseball helped the Astros possibly get away with what they wanted to do. So, you know, they was probably definitely in favor for replay. But
that plan was really genius.
It was.
Yeah.
It definitely was, man. But, you know, once again, like reiterating what y'all said, once the season starts, man, in the beginning, it might be some sparks, but it's 162 games. Dog days of summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's just too much games. Yeah, it's just too much games. It's going to die down.
Come out the gate, go like 20-5 or something.
Ain't nothing
like
to talk about if they kill everything. Manny, you think there's any way to stop whatever's going to happen with cheating again, or we'll be here in a couple months talking about it again?
I think it'll be enforced this year. I think you'll have the ops in every locker room and every clubhouse basically trying to enforce it. And then eventually it'll die down, and then somebody will find some new scheme. You know, an iPad, a tablet, a robot, a drone.
Something.
You know what?
A drone. Yeah, because the thing is, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, but you know, let's talk about our Mets here. So, last October, full disclosure, right? After the season was done, well, November, I should say, the first thing I said to anyone who would listen is, New York Mets, 2020 World Champs. I'm speaking it into existence, right? 2020 world champs.
There's
three Met fans here. We've all lived and died with this team. A lot of times we turned the channel in the ninth inning when they blew the lead.
Jesus.
How unrealistic is my expectation of a 2020 world championship?
Can we have is there possible to be 10 comeback player of the years awards? Because that's what we're going to need. We have a lot of the same talent on the team this year, you know? So what we're asking our guys to do is to get better.
Yeah.
You know? And we're not asking young guys to get better. We're asking Jarius Familia to get better. He's been I don't know why we gave him the contract to begin
when
with.
When we traded him, I celebrated.
You know?
Diaz,
I'm hoping is a bounce back year, but playing in Seattle when it's 2-3 fans out there and no, there's no big national market out there, it's easy to be dominant. You know, it's unrealistic for me. Damn. I mean, for me, it's unrealistic, and I go and I have to go as high as blame the top, and I gotta blame it on our owner. Our owner holds us back from greatness.
Get them out of here. And then we had to say, right, look, go ahead, Greg. I'm not gonna get worked up about that.
Yeah, Wilpons are a mess. I hope they find a buyer fast. I actually don't think it's that unrealistic.
Oh yes.
And here's why. In the first half of the season last year, the Mets blew 21 games.
Oh, yo, we could have won 100-plus games last year.
Exactly. And I think in the second half, we blew like 10, between 10 and 15. You're looking at, we would have been the best team in baseball if you literally closed games.
Yes.
You know, offense wasn't an issue.
No.
Starting pitching wasn't an issue.
No.
Middle relief wasn't the issue.
No.
It was the back end of the bullpen with these...
Two clowns.
Oh, my God. They give me anxiety. But... If the problem I do have, though, the Braves went out and got better.
I wanted to get Ozuna so bad. I don't understand exactly why we didn't go get Ozuna. What are we doing? Cespedes, as your point, he better kill this year.
He doesn't have a choice.
He has to.
Because that he's stealing money at this point.
Yeah. I mean, at this point.
He's stealing money.
Yeah. He's been stealing for a little minute now.
Yeah, for a little minute.
It's been highway robbery for a minute.
Yeah. What up, Manny? Unrealistic or realistic?
Listen, fellas, I appreciate the fandom. I really do. Uh-huh. I'm a fan as well. But you guys know the Mets and Flushing doesn't handle prosperity well.
Oh,
I'm really concerned about all the love the Mets have been getting. You know, Pacoda rankings had the Mets winning the National League East. Writers are putting the Mets as a sleeper World Series contender. I feel uncomfortable in that role, man. Mm. You guys know as soon as the praise come out, the Mets are bound to disappoint. Y'all listen, when the Mets fly under the radar, that's when the Mets do well. As soon as the Mets get a little pressure, a little pat on the back, look at what's going on in Flushing. Good things are going on. The other shoe drops. Jeez. I think we have the roster capability.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Come around.
I really do. But is Syndergaard finally going to be Robin to DeGrom's Batman?
Yeah, because the idiot manager is gone. He didn't forget how to pitch. He had an idiot telling him what to do.
Okay. You're right. Mickey Callaway was a nuisance. I get it.
You know, he's an idiot.
I really do like the manager.
We replaced him with another rookie manager. So for all the praise
he's an Alou, bro. He's a baseball lifer. It's different.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, I agree.
If he had the last name Alou, it would be a different talk about him.
True. He would have had a job already. You right. know what you mean?
Right.
You're 100% right.
Facts.
You know what the best part about that dude is? Oh, let me finish.
Yeah,
no,
man.
I'm just saying, honestly, I really believe that this team has the capability of winning a championship. Now, will it happen? I still don't trust that bullpen. Fellas, did you guys watch? I know it's spring training. I know we're 3 or 4 games in, but Diaz is up to his old tricks again. giving up three runs in a spring training inning. Typical Edwin Diaz fashion.
Oh, my God.
Betances. Where's Betances? Are y'all telling me we getting the Betances from the Yankees, or are we getting this dumbed-down version of Betances that, you know, happens with a lot of pitchers that come to the Mets that just all of a sudden become stiffs?
Hey, listen. That Dellin is from New York. He's from the town. He has some injury issues. He's home. He's home now. He's not a Yankee anymore. He took that weird color blue off and wore the right color blue. Okay,
sorry. All right, we'll see.
But it is what it is. put it this way: for various reasons, everyone is right. You know, when it comes to the Mets, I envy Yankee fans because they don't have anything to worry about every year. They can wake up 6 months out the year. The team is going to be good. They're going to be in the playoffs. They might not win the chip, but you know exactly what you're going to get year in and year out. You know, but this Met team, bro. Like last season, I think Manny, I was on the Mets last year. I was low key riding. I'm like, I think I like this team, Manny. And he was like, I don't know. We started out pretty good, and then the wheels fell off. Mm-hmm. But then we got it back in the summer. I was in Citi Field with that Nationals games when Guillorme hit the homer. You know, I was in the building. It was lit. But then the wheels fell off. The other shoe dropped. But I think it just comes down to Diaz. Not even Familia's a joke. If we're depending on Familia, the thing, you know, no funny, the worst thing that happened to the Mets was when, what was our closest name before Familia took over, caught the steroid suspension?
Oh,
Mejia.
That's supposed to be our closer till this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy.
Mm-hmm. He's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really, ugh. But a player who's not built, like, he's really Benitez. When I look at Familia, I see Benitez over and over Benitez and over again.
Yeah, Benitez is better than him.
But he's a choke artist, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Big, brolic, Hispanic reliever who chokes when we need him the most. But
I still have nightmares of game one in Kansas City in 2015.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. So, because it hurts. When I look at the Mets, the lineup is there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think I'm the only Met fan in town who's all in on Cespedes this year. I think that Cespedes. I'm buying it. All the stock. Give it to me. You telling me McNeil? Somehow we could get McNeil, Alonso, Cespedes, like a 2-3-4 action or 1-2-3. Who's pitching to that?
Right.
Just saying. Michael Conforto figured some things out last year. I'm not sure about J.D. Davis. I don't know. I don't know if he can replicate that, but does he have to?
I like
J.D.
Yeah, I like J.D.
I think
he can.
I like J.D.
You know, I...
What's up with Nemo?
Get him. I don't want some dude walking. I want you to swing the bat.
Right.
Honestly, low-key, Nemo's the key to the offense.
No, he's not. Yes, he's not.
He's a table setter. He's a shortstop, man.
He's a table setter.
Thank you. It's Rosario. It's Rosario, man.
It's Rosario.
He could be the Nemo of 2 years ago.
What, walk?
Like an on-base machine. Has some power that only strengthens this line.
Listen, he needs to be the first dude off the bench. No,
I don't mind that either, but I also think Manny's kind of right too, because you put pressure on the defense, he gets on base.
Fact. True, but then put McNeil at the leadoff spot.
McNeil is not a guy who steals bases,
but he was crushing at the leadoff position last year.
Imagine Nemo and McNeil, the top of that lineup, causing havoc. Nemo getting on base, McNeil with his contact.
So where you putting Rosario? Seventh?
Rosario actually does better lower
when,
in the
when order. When he's eighth. That's when he does most of his damage.
He killed it in second, though. In the second half of the season, he did.
I think he something clicked with him.
Would you see what's happening here? This is a good problem. See, come on, guys. 2020. World champs. All right, look.
My only... about all this depth and what happened? Somebody's going to slip on a banana peel.
I'm knocking on wood. I'm not letting you do that, Manny.
Wait, because I knew somebody was going to bring that up. And I think...
Lugo.
I think Brody did a good job addressing some of the depth.
Yeah.
You know, picking up Eduardo Nunez. That's a big pickup. That went under the radar. You know, and then there's Matt Adams.
Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, these are veterans that know how to handle the stick.
And we have tradable assets in the event that we're live in the season, we need a bullpen arm. You trade a couple guys. I'm just saying.
We still got Dom Smith.
Nemo, pack him up. Get somebody else.
But that's my only issue. Why wait? Why wait mid-season? We don't know what we're going to be.
Because they're giving Diaz a chance.
Man. Giving Diaz. Come on. It's definitely the money.
The deal they made and the pitcher who they traded, who's killing for the Mariners right now, you kind of have to keep Diaz and hope he does something well. Because... Robbie gonna be Robbie at this point. Mm-hmm. We maybe 250, 260 if he stays healthy, 20 homers. That's what we gonna get. All right, second base. So we need Diaz to be something. You know, I'm speaking it positively. You know, 2020 started off a little rough for your boy. So I need the Mets. 2020 world champions. Will it happen? I don't know, because the Braves are alive. I don't believe the Phillies. The Nationals will figure some things out because everyone's picking against them, so they'll be annoying. The Marlins, I'm not sure if the Marlins got better. That's where everyone will get their wins off of the Marlins. So
Marlins stink.
It's going to be a 4-team race for most of the season, eventually mm-hmm. become a 3-team race, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the Mets year, bro. I don't know. I like this group.
I hope so, man. I really hope so.
I think it also has to do with how we manage the pen.
Yes.
Because a lot of the times, Callaway stuck with guys too long. Didn't make the call when it was necessary.
We got rid of Terry Collins and got Junior Terry Collins.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, and then they were going, a lot of, you know, BVW was going on the analytics, but you had a manager that didn't understand analytics. or players for that matter.
Not an idiot. Listen.
Dog, Syndergaard got to step up too, bro.
Yes, he does.
He does.
Yes, he does.
He does.
He got to start BSing, and he got to take that next level, man. He got to become that ace, bro. He got to become the Gerrit Cole to Justin Verlander.
I think now that idiot, I'm going to keep reiterating, that Kyle O'Leary didn't know what he had with Syndergaard. And he kind of got, you know, sometimes you get in the pitcher's head and you'll mess him up. Think about the Syndergaard when we had with Terry Collins and then the Mickey Callaway Syndergaard. It's not the same pitcher.
It's not.
He went backwards, if anything. He had a massive splitter that he stopped using a lot of times.
He became Steven Matz.
Jesus Christ. Steven Matz. Okay. Steven Matz should be Kershaw. But he doesn't know how to use his pitches.
And then I feel Syndergaard just needs to... I don't want to use the phrase shut up and dribble.
Yeah, no, say
it. But I think he should just shut up and play baseball, man. Because every time he opens up his mouth, we go on a losing streak.
Yeah.
I don't know if people notice, but we swept the team early last year, and I think the wheels fell off. We lost 6 or 8 in a row.
Jeez.
Then we swept the Cleveland Indians, and he got on the internet and talked about fringe playoff team because one of the Indians Twitter guys talk about, the fringe playoff.
Yes, I remember that.
Syndergaard gets on the internet and said the fringe team just swept y'all. We lost the next 10 games. I could be exaggerating. Yeah. It might be 9.
It's the Mets. It probably happened.
It's the Mets. It was like an 8-game losing
streak. I just want him to pitch. Be that dominant pitcher.
Be the guy we saw in the World Series against Kansas City when he threw at the leadoff hitter just to set the tone. Yo, you know what I'm saying?
I miss that guy.
That's the guy we need.
More Jacob DeGrom, less Matt Harvey.
It's like he became Matt Harvey.
Right. And that's my fear. He did become Matt Harvey. Mm. And it was deja vu. We had an opportunity to trade Matt Harvey. After 2015, we had a chance to trade Matt Harvey. We could have got a nice little package.
Yeah.
We elect to keep him. We got nothing. And exactly. Basuda.
Nah, he's not. He can still win you games.
He can.
Matt Harvey couldn't win you games.
That's what I saw with Matt Harvey.
But we're talking about the personality, the bravado, the outcome not matching the bravado. Okay, you know what I mean?
Then I could agree with that.
But you mentioned the bullpen, and Seth Lugo wants to start. And I think he needs to stay in the pen. Mm-hmm. He could be the best setup guy in the game. Just stay in the pen. Or close
Did
even.
You guys hear what they're doing with they're potentially doing with the fifth starter?
I didn't get to sit with that, but suddenly along, like, they're rotating the situational starters with the fifth starter.
So what they're going to do is between Waka and Matz, depending on matchup, either there's several different possibilities.
It already sounds like nonsense.
So I'm gonna tell you why I like it.
Okay,
but so depending on matchup, like determining lefties or righties in the lineup,
mm-hmm.
Waka will start or Matz will start, or they use Lugo or Gesellman as an opener first time through the lineup, then bring Matz or Waka in, because when Matz or Waka start, their numbers are putrid, and they have Matz especially has low has high pitch counts, rarely gets into the fifth inning. So instead, you bring him in like the third inning, it shortens the game for the bullpen.
Okay.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
It sounds like when you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
Boom.
That's
what it sounds like to me.
You know why I disagree? Because if you have the pieces to make it happen, like a Rocco Baldelli in Tampa, it can work.
All right, so now what about the temperament perspective? Because Steven Matz more and more is looking like John Neese out here with the mental. He's real temperamental. When it's good, he's killing. When it's bad, he's upset. He's leaving the hangers over the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I used to text this dude about John Neese all the time, bro. Because the thing is, Neese would be going good in one bad pitch or one bad play in the outfield. And this game is over for us. Mm-hmm. And Matz, he's getting there. So is he okay with that? Because he's giving interviews like he wants to be the full-time starter.
So what I read in the article basically is it depends on Waka and Matz's performance in spring training. So if they perform and where one blows the other out the water, then we have nothing to discuss.
It's a dead issue.
Yeah.
All right, so the preseason is going to decide a lot about what the fifth guy is. All right, fair enough. All right, so right now, you guys, the jury's out on 2020 World Champions. I'm all in. I'm prepared to crash and burn with this Mets team. It's gonna be rough if we lose, but I'm buying it. You know what I mean? They held me down last year when all my other teams was trash, and they gonna take it home this year.
I hope so.
Say it one more time from my lips to God's ears, Manny. That's what you're saying.
Your list of guys is.
There you go. There you go. We speaking into existence. Before we wrap it up, you know, we did baseball heavy, and people that listen to the show are not usually accustomed to this kind of talk, so I want to give them a little something else before we break out of here. Akeem, you said you wanted to talk about something related to Colin Kaepernick and the XFL before we broke out.
Oh, yes.
Colin Kaepernick has the situation, has the whole injustice, social injustice system. How do people feel about that? How's people taking that? Did it expire? Taking your point, did it expire? Or people are just throwing it under the rug? You know, and I feel that at this point in time, I feel that Colin Kaepernick is not serious about playing football. I just feel that at this time, in my opinion, I feel that
he adjust my chair.
I feel that he's not, because if you were serious about playing football, if you love the game, you would step on a football field.
Okay,
the XFL is out there. The XFL, we're not, they're not going to pay you high and mighty like you're the face of the franchise.
Right.
But if you love the game, if you love the sport like you say you do, and if you're working out 2-3 times a day like you say you are, go ahead and showcase your talent in a broadened horizon, which is the XFL. Whether it's legit or not, it will give a set of eyes on you from other NFL execs or other NFL GMs to give you a possible second chance. If you're just sitting there and you're trying to dictate your pro day, I've called it his pro day as a pro. If you're trying to dictate your pro day and you're trying to dictate certain things, people are not going to take you as serious. And on another note, continuation with Colin Kaepernick, I think the people didn't forget about the whole situation. I just think that there's so much other distractions going on in the NFL that will make you forget about the Colin Kaepernick situation.
Right.
It could be Cincinnati Bengals and New England Patriots cheat gate part two.
Yep.
It could be Odell Beckham's $10,000 watch.
Yep.
It could be Antonio Brown being Antonio Brown. Because all these different things are happening, we tend to forget about the Colin Kaepernick, or forget about the social injustice that's going on. And we shouldn't forget about that, but things happen, and because those things are happening that leads to distractions, we think that Colin Kaepernick or that injustice system is forgotten about, and I'm one to tell you that it's not.
Well, This is a very gray area discussion. This is pocket gray area right here. So, first things first, I don't disagree with anything you said in regards to Colin Kaepernick, right? Because that was a rational perspective on a situation that involves him.
Correct.
However, are you prepared for the people to say that is a sellout take? Because anytime you're objective about Colin Kaepernick and you say what you said, Stephen A has said it. A lot of people, Marcellus Wiley has said it. Say he wants to be a martyr. He wants to be a face, but he doesn't want to play.
Right.
Are you prepared for that pushback? Although you're correcting what you're saying, because that's what it looked like.
Right.
Are you prepared for that?
Hey, man, if I see a spade on a table, I can't call it a clubs.
Okay.
You know, you gotta call a spade a spade. And I know, you know, he's an African-American, and we're African-Americans, and, you know, we got to be right by
people. We got to stick together. Absolutely.
You got to stick together. But I want to see you play. Me as an African American want to see my African American brother play.
Right.
And when I don't see you playing and you have an opportunity, doesn't matter the level, doesn't matter the league. If you love the game, you would play. That's just how I feel.
And
about
I'll piggyback it before I pass the rock. You got the money, right? There's a league here. You love the game. You've gotten your message out there. You've essentially gotten everything you wanted, Colin Kaepernick. Why is he not on the field? What's the holdup? What's the reason? He still hasn't given it to this day, you know. He hasn't answered why he's not on the field.
Right.
The NFL funny money. We could say that it's beef there. I think it's long-standing beef for him and Colin Kaepernick.
But
the XFL is on TV, on ESPN, right? On his other networks. Greg, what's up? Why he's not playing?
I mean, you know I'm a big Cap fan.
Absolutely.
So
we all love Cap, man.
No, you know. We love Cap, but we gotta talk about it. I don't. Anthony's gonna be mad at this.
He will. I mean, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but in terms of what you were saying, him playing in the XFL maybe leading to him getting an opportunity in the NFL, I don't think that'll ever happen. I don't think he'll ever get another opportunity in the NFL. But I honestly cannot say why he's turning down the XFL.
Ego.
And I mean, that could be the only thing, because
it's the ego, right?
You know, like you said, and mind you, I'm all Cap. You know what I'm saying? So I support a lot of what Cap does, but this is the one thing where I'm just like, you know what? You might need to take this opportunity if you really want to play, because
Correct.
There's nothing else for you.
Mm. Correct. Correct. Mm. And the same thing the NFL's doing to you, you're doing to the XFL.
Hello.
You know, so
explain
it's just,
that.
It's, so basically, how I think that the NFL is feels that they're the most powerful brand in sports, and when you try to disrespect the NFL, they want to give you a lesson. They want to make you a prime example of a situation. I think the NFL is making an example. A la Colin Kaepernick. I think that the NFL, everything is driven. It's people driven. We all, you know what I mean? It's people that's running the show. So I think these people and the NFL and the brand has this ego trip. Who are you to disrespect the NFL? I'm going to show you. You're not invited here no more. You know? So I think that Colin Kaepernick in turn to the XFL is like, listen, I'm Colin Kaepernick. Like the XFL is for street guys. I'm not a street guy. I was in the Super Bowl. I was in the national championship. I'm not playing for y'all. Ego.
This is a dangerous situation right now.
That's just how I see it.
This is what it is, Manny. Does Cap need to step forward and let us know what it is? Oh, matter of fact, better question: does Cap need to just come out and say he's not trying to play anymore?
I think Cap needs to come out, give a long form interview, say either he's trying to play and he's going to do everything possible to play, or just say he's moving on and it's a dead issue. I mean, I think both sides have just dug themselves their feet in the ground and they're not going to relent. Like the NFL, it's not in their best interest to let Kaepernick play because it goes against the constituencies in which they try to represent that, like, oh, you can't let him get one up on you because that's a loss to, you know, collective bargaining and power and blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, you got the social justice warriors out there that, you know, if Kaepernick relents and he loses his martyrdom and, you know, he basically sold out and played and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, both sides are stuck in it, have dug their feet in the ground and not going to relent. I'm with y'all, man. I mean, everything that y'all say, I'm just sit back, just taking it in because everything that y'all saying is right.
I think it's time for this whole thing to just go away, bro. Because you can't villainize anyone else. You tried Jay-Z. That didn't work. Like, it's just time to just bury it. Like, it's done.
I've moved on. I have no interest in talking about Kaepernick. Now, I still respect and I still love what he brought to the light, what he brought to the table, the conversation that he started. I love everything that he's doing in the communities and whatnot. Keep doing that, my brother.
Right.
Don't stop. As far as Kaepernick, the NFL player, I'm over it. I'm done. And honestly, like, what's the XFL going to do? Like, okay, he plays in the XFL. The people that don't like Kaepernick, look at
that. Nah, they got the problem.
Sorry, he sucked. That's why he has to settle for the XFL. Like, it's just going to be another conversation starter for something else. So, honestly, I've just moved on from it.
Do you think Cap is in a lose-lose situation?
Lose-lose situation. Honestly, he really is.
So, quick question. Colin Kaepernick joins the XFL and wins MVP. No considerations whatsoever.
I think he puts the league on the map big time. If he goes and crushes the league wins.
But you're going to have those cynical folks that are going to say, yeah, he did that, but it's just the XFL.
So it's a $1 billion league, ain't it?
But it's losing money.
But a football league is hard to run. But if Colin Kaepernick, it's a lose lose. But I think it's a lose lose in the short term. But if you play the long game and he becomes the face of the league, you think about the Q rating for the league for giving him a shot, because now you're going to have a lot of us black people in droves gonna go pull up to the Kaepernick game. The Alva games might not do a big rating, but anytime Cash play, we gonna pull up.
Right.
And if he kills, win. I think agreed. The NFL, yeah. I think now it sends the pressure back to the NFL to where, like, how can you justify not keeping him on the field? Even if Kaepernick didn't want to play, the heat is on the NFL because it really makes them look ridiculous for not allowing him to play. But, you know, again, it's an ongoing circle of nowhere. I mean, it's tough, but that's a heavy point. You know, Cap looking like he don't want to play. The NFL obviously doesn't want Cap. I think the only people being honest is the NFL. We don't want him.
Right.
We got to accept that.
Right. I mean, are they really being honest? Because they never outright came and said it.
They don't got to say it.
No, they don't.
They don't got to say it.
But we know that.
Yeah.
But a lot of NFL fans that don't look like us.
This is true.
Don't look at it like that.
You don't think the white fans know that? I think the white fans don't even want Cap.
Nope. They don't want him, but they don't think the way they portray it is like, well, he's not good enough. It's a talent thing with them.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Right.
That's the excuse. They want Kaepernick, the quarterback. They don't want Kaepernick, the social justice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the excuse for saying what they really want to say. That's just what it is. He's not talented enough.
Fellas, I think we can shut it down right here. There's no other topic that could top that. You know what I mean? Chapter 60, we're coming to a close, but as always, before I break out, I'll let my guests, let the people know a little bit about themselves. So, Akeem, you know, we had our Lost Tapes episode that was a fire app, and you let them know what you had going on. Can you do it again? And this time it can be officially on wax.
Definitely. I'm on, right?
Recorded. Yes, it's recording.
Awesome. Hey, man, A. Rich, Akeem Richens. If you don't know me, get to know me. I have my brand built in Buffalo. For all my Buffalo Bills fans, or for my Buffalo Bills haters, whatever one, if you want original content, if you want different perspectives, unique perspectives, follow the brand Built in Buffalo on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow me, A. Rich, on Twitter, Akeem Richens on Facebook and Instagram, man. And it's been fun, right? This has been fun.
As always, Greg, let them know.
What's going on? This is Greg Polis from the Sports Hit List. You can follow us on Facebook, the Sports Hit List. You can also join the group. As Ray can tell you, it's pretty colorful conversations today on the daily. Yeah. The Sports Hit List group. And you can find us for any and every type of sports content. Baseball, basketball, football. We even sprinkle a little hockey in there for you hockey fans.
Nice.
All right.
Manny, my listeners know, but anyway, Manny, AGS, what's good?
Host of Any Given Sunday podcast. New episodes every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Rotating guests. Follow me on Twitter at Emmanuel Brown. Instagram, Emmanuel Brown. Follow the show on Instagram at AGS Podcast. On Twitter at AGS Pod.
My guy, Manny, I appreciate you, bro.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was chapter 60 of The Gray Area. Fire episode, first baseball roundtable ever, and it went off without a hitch. And at this point, you know what the saying is.
Whether you like it or don't like it, sit down and look at it, because it's the best going today. Woo!
Perfect.